Case of the Stolen Sables. Here's another transcribed program in the Philco Radio Mystery Contest, brought to you each week at this same time over this station by your Philco Radio Tube dealer. Here's another opportunity for you to win your share of $50,000 in cash prizes, awarded to the winners in this entirely new kind of radio contest. Big weekly cash prizes, tremendous grand prizes, cash, $50,000. Anybody anywhere can enter this Philco Radio Mystery Contest. Nothing to buy. Just go to your Philco Radio Tube dealer and get your absolutely free copy of Philco Mystery Book Number 2. The case which Philco, the famous girl detective, is going to solve in a moment is the case of the stolen sables. Listen to the program with your Philco Mystery Book Number 2 open to pages 10 and 11 if you already have a copy. Listen carefully. Take notes. Don't miss a single thing. You want to win. Let's see how good a detective you are. The scene opens in the living room of Phil's apartment. Tom Taylor has just brought Phil home from the theater, and they are enjoying a late snack before Tom makes his departure.
Hey, Phil, this cheese is super colossal.
I'm glad you like it. I made it myself. Even bored the hole.
Hey, that gives me an idea of my next detective story. Listen to this. We open in the home of an old hermit who ekes out his living collecting the small bits of cheese that fall out when the holes are bored.
Oh.
Now, you see, this hermit has a pet zebra named Elmer.
Oh, stop your nonsense. Turn on my new Philco radio over there.
All right.
It's a little after 11. Get Stephen Gilbert's news broadcast.
All right. Your own fault if you don't want to hear the plot of the great American novel.
We'll not defend his title again this year.
Good.
A baffling robbery took place this evening at the Wallace Fur Shop. $50,000 worth of sable coats was said to be missing. The crime was discovered by the owner of the shop, Mr. Theodore Wallace Sr., who returned at 9 o'clock for some letters he had forgotten to mail.
But his wife made him go back.
As yet, the police have discovered no clues. The shop was protected by a burglar alarm, but no alarm was sounded. Detectives who made a thorough search failed to discover anyone lurking in the building. Are you planning a winter holiday? If so, don't fail to...
That's very curious. I buy from Wallace's every now and then.
All right. You don't have to tell me. I can read your mind. You're going to be at Wallace's fur shop in the morning.
Oh.
You won't have to use force, Sheriff. I'll go along quietly.
It's very kind of you, Miss Coe, to offer your services.
Not at all, Mr. Wallace.
My son, Theodore Jr., will be here in just a few moments. He and I share this second floor office.
I'll be glad to see him. I read in the morning papers that the fur coats were stolen from a glass showcase here on the second floor.
Yes, that is correct. I kept that case locked at all times, but the thief didn't bother with the lock. He simply smashed the glass.
Good morning, Dad.
Good morning, Theodore. This is my son, my store manager. Theodore, this is Miss Phyllis Coe and Mr. Tom Taylor. How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Theodore?
Please find anything new, Dad?
No, sir, not a thing. I'm hoping Miss Coe will clear this up for us.
Oh, so you're that Miss Coe, eh? I read in the paper how you found the Faith Diamond over at Raymond's Hospital a couple of weeks ago. That was nice work.
Well, thank you.
Well, I suppose we're all going to be, what do you call it, grilled?
Mm-hmm. To a crisp.
Yes, Mr. Theodore.
All right. Grill away. What would you like to know, Miss Crow?
Well, I'm convinced this is an inside job. Now, who else besides Mr. Wallace Sr. carries keys to the building?
Well, no one except myself.
Ouch.
Damaging admission.
Where did you go last night after you left the store?
Off to have a look at my polo ponies. Oh, but gosh, that's no alibi. Horses can't talk.
No, Mr. Theodore, but they can eat, and I'm told that costs a great deal.
Say, wait a minute. You're really getting serious. I suggest you question Patty, the janitor. He's always the last one to leave.
No, son, take it easy.
Well, I don't know. She's practically accusing me, and I don't like it. If you want me, I'll be downstairs.
Oh, you must excuse my son. He's always had a grudge against the poor old Patty. When he was a little boy, Patty once caught him helping himself to a quarter out of the cash register.
Oh, I guess all little boys do things like that.
I didn't. My father never could afford a cash register.
Oh, Tom. Now, Mr. Wallace,
yes?
Just a few questions. You have both floors of this building?
Yes.
What rooms are there downstairs?
Well, behind this sales room downstairs is the little room used by my two furriers. The back door of the building opens on that room.
And by what door do your employees leave?
The back door, always. You see, I have a time clock back there, and the employees always check in and out. At 5:30, our closing time, Paddy, the janitor, usually sits there by the door to check up on packages taken out. Just a measure of safety.
I see. Will you tell me about your employees? How many are there, and what does each one do?
Well, there's my son, Theodore, who is my store manager. I have one saleswoman downstairs, Madame Renee. There are two salespersons here on the second floor, Miss Thompson and Mr. Marshall. Then there are the two furriers whom I mentioned, and Paddy.
Have all these people been associated with you for a long time?
All except Madame Renee. She came to me 2 weeks ago, but with excellent recommendation.
Thank you. And now I'd like to examine the second floor salesroom.
Why, certainly, Miss Cole. Come right this way. Now, here is the showcase in which the coats were stolen. This is Paddy, just sweeping up the glass. Paddy?
Yes, sir?
Miss Cole and Mr. Taylor are assisting me in tracking down the thief. Now, answer any questions I may ask you.
Yes, sir.
And this lady is Miss Thompson, my saleswoman.
Good morning.
And this is Mr. Marshall, my salesman.
How do you do?
Miss Cole and Mr. Taylor.
How do you do?
And now I'm going downstairs to have a talk with the detective. Now, if you want anything, just call me.
No, thank you, Mr. Wallace.
Oh, this is a nice-looking showroom, Paddy.
It is that, Mr. Taylor.
And such enormous sliding drawers under the showcases. I've never seen drawers quite so large.
And look how easy they work. You can pull them out with one finger. And they go back in just as easy. One little push, and in she goes.
What do you keep in these drawers, Paddy?
Coat linings. This one here, for instance. See, those things in the bottom are coat linings.
Oh, wait a minute before you push that drawer back. What's that down there?
Well, bless my soul. A man's pocket watch.
Whose is it, Paddy?
Well, I'm sure I don't know. Oh, say, Mr. Marshall.
Yes, Paddy?
Oh, look in here. We found a watch in the drawer. Is it yours by any chance?
No, Paddy, that isn't mine. The only watch I own has been at the jeweler's for about 10 days.
Oh, I see. Paddy, yes. Will you come into Mr. Marshall's office for a minute?
Oh, with pleasure, Miss Cole.
And Tom, will you please bring Madame Renee up to see me?
With even more pleasure, Miss Cole.
Paddy, tell me about everyone's activities last night.
Well, them two furriers, they left prompt at 5. Union rules, you know. Then they closed the back door, which has a spring lock, and come up here to the second floor to close the windows.
And Miss Thompson and Mr. Marshall, the salespeople, were out in the showroom?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Mr. Marshall had his coat and hat on. He told me he was going to sneak off early and asked would I punch the clock for him at 5:30. Well, such a thing is irregular, but a fellow never knows when he'll be needing a favor. So I told Mr. Marshall to go ahead. So downstairs he went. After shutting the windows, I went down myself. Miss Thompson checked out at 5:30, and so did Madame Renee, and so did I. I punched Mr. Marshall's card.
Where were Mr. Wallace and his son? Had they left?
Oh, yes. They're very seldom here after 4 o'clock.
Bill, here's Madame Renee.
Oh, thanks. Come in, Madame Renee. That's all, Paddy. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Miss Cole. It's a pleasure.
Miss Cole, this robbery, it is terrible.
Yes, Madame Renee. And I hope you won't mind if I ask you a few questions.
Of course not.
What time did you leave the shop last night?
Exactly at 5:30. Miss Thompson and Paddy, they also leave at the same time.
Did you see Mr. Marshall leave?
Yes.
Do you know exactly what time that was?
Yes. I remember because I asked him what time it is. He took from his pocket his watch and say it is 5:10. Then he went to the back door.
But you didn't actually see him go out the door, did you?
No, mademoiselle.
Where did you go when you left here?
To my home. I stayed in all evening and go to bed after listening to Steve Gilbert's news broadcast at 11. That is when I hear about this so awful robbery at the shop.
Oh, thank you, Madame Renee. Will you please wait outside?
Yes, Miss Cole.
Bill?
Yes, Tom?
I checked with Miss Thompson on her story. She says she left at 5:30 and was home all evening.
Oh, thanks, Tom. And now, would you mind asking Mr. Wallace and his son to come upstairs?
Not at all. Are we getting warm?
Very. Mr. Marshall, would you come in here a moment, please?
Why, certainly, Miss Cole.
Now, Mr. Marshall, what time did you leave last night?
5:30, my usual time. That's easy to check on, of course. You'll find that time stamped on my time clock record.
Did you go out last evening after dinner?
No. The fact is, I had a beastly headache. I simply lounged around the house.
What time did you go to bed?
Gosh, I don't know. Oh, yes, I do, too. I remember turning on the radio to catch Steve Gilbert's news broadcast. Same old dull stuff. After it was over, I went to sleep. And this morning, when I read about the robbery, I was shocked beyond words.
Well, everyone's here now, Phil. Oh,
thanks, Tom.
Well, Miss Cole, have you made any important discoveries?
Yes, Mr. Wallace. very important ones. I'm going to tell you first how this robbery was carried out. One of you stayed here in the store last night. The thief hid in one of the closets in the furrier's room until all the others had checked out. Then came back upstairs and smashed the glass showcase, carried the coats downstairs, and passed them out through one of the barred windows to an accomplice. The thief then settled down for a quiet night. But Mr. Wallace came back unexpectedly to get some letters he'd forgotten to mail. He discovered the robbery and called the police. Meanwhile, the thief, panic-stricken, hid in one of these large sliding drawers. This one, in fact.
By golly, that's the one we found the watch in.
That's right, Paddy. And this morning, the thief found it fairly simple to walk downstairs and punch the clock when Paddy was upstairs. And now, Mr. Marshall, I'm afraid you're going to have to do without your watch for quite some time to come.
Say, wait a minute. You can't pin this thing on me.
Hold on there, Marshal. You take one step, and I'll wrap this mop handle around your thieving neck.
Well, it looks as though you had me all right. This Cole, you're more clever than I'd heard you were. But maybe it was my own dumbness. If I hadn't lost that watch...
The nerve of you. And you made me check out for you last night, too. Oh, thank heaven you dropped that watch. Or I might have been carted off to the hoosegow myself.
Things looked pretty dark there for young Ted Wallace, didn't they? Even Phil Coe, the girl detective, was a little suspicious of him at first, until that fellow marshal started making mistakes. Enter the great Philco Radio Mystery Contest now, if you haven't done so already. Keep trying every week, because every week there's a new program, a new contest, a new opportunity for you to win your share of the $50,000 in cash prizes awarded the winners in this contest where only skill counts. Your skill may win you a big weekly prize, maybe even one of the mammoth grand prizes. Some of you may not have your Philco Radio Mystery Book number 2 yet. Get it right away from your Philco Radio Tube dealer. It's absolutely free. Nothing to buy, you know. Next week at this time, over this station, your Philco Radio Tube dealer brings you another Philco mystery. Another opportunity in this amazing $50,000 cash prize contest. Names of major winners in this week's contest will be broadcast as soon as possible on a following Philco Radio Mystery program. Wouldn't it be swell to hear your name announced? Remember, the case of the stolen sables, which you've just heard, is the last mystery contained in the Philco Mystery Book number 2. Philco Radio Mystery Book number 3, with 4 more fascinating problems, is ready for you at your Philco Tube Dealer store. Free. Get yours now. Before next week's broadcast, have your radio tube checked. Replace the worn-out ones with Philco tubes. Don't let poor reception rob you of any opportunity to win your share of that $50,000 in cash prizes. Be all ready to win when Phil Cole, the girl detective, brings you another mystery. Next week, this time, this station.